Steve Geller with Charlie Long here on Sports Talk, bringing it to 7 o'clock. Thursday night football between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs should be a good one. Another good one tomorrow morning, Yeoman Stadium, 11 a.m. We've got the Tulane Green Wave taking on Kansas State. To join us now to help preview the matchup, director of Tulane Broadcasting and the voice of the Green Wave, Corey Glore. How you been, man? What a great opener to start the season for the Green Wave.
Yeah, thank you for having me, fellas. It was a fun game last Thursday in that they won 52-0, and the new head coach had a lot to complain about.
Right.
So I think it was a coach's dream to start off his tenure here in Uptown.
I was going to say to you, I don't think I've ever heard a coach as upset with his squad after a 52-0 win.
Yeah, John Summerall did not like a lot of what he saw last Thursday against Southeastern Louisiana. Too many missed tackles, a few too many penalties, some communication issues. But when you're talking about that after winning by a half a century like they did to start off the year, I don't know if there's a better way to draw up game number one as a head coach when you can look at a win like that and still find a lot of things to comb through and film and tell your team to zero in on for a big-time opponent coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, and looking at this matchup, obviously quarterback, a big talking point. Darian Mensah really looked great in game one. What was really about him that he was able to set himself apart from the other quarterbacks on the Tulane roster?
It was impressive, Steve, because he entered fall camp as quarterback number three on the depth chart, and it was really a two-man battle about who was going to be QB1 on opening night, and he was not one of those two candidates, but he went up and took the job. And what you saw last Thursday was a lot of what happened over the course of August, just a very calm, cool, under pressure sort of player who finally got an opportunity to showcase himself, and he did go and take the job away heading into last week. And so what we saw, and you know, he didn't throw the ball a ton against Southeastern, but he had to get out of some jail moments there, especially early on in the game, and 10 of 12 for 205 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He stood in the pocket strong. He had some very tough throws down the middle of the field, especially early on in the game, that he was able to complete with relative ease. And so he was as poised as we saw in camp for a guy who had not played a down of college football and now starting his second year here at Tulane. And so it was a lot of what John Summerall saw leading into last Thursday that wound up showcasing itself in actual game action. You just don't know what that's going to look like with a freshman taking the field for the first ever time, and he passed with flying colors.
Corey, we've spoken to multiple Tulane reporters about this group, and one thing that stood out to me, I think we were talking to Gary Smith about this, who writes for The Advocate for Tulane, he said that the wide receiver room was the one with the highest ceiling, but also kind of had a lower floor. It was kind of hard to project where they would land up. Mario Williams had a great opener against Southeastern Louisiana, finishing 4 receptions, 124 yards. One name that kept popping up, though, throughout this entire offseason process was a former UL Raging Cajun, Dante Fleming, who had apparently a great camp, but he was kind of a little bit quiet. He dropped the touchdown pass in that game against Southeastern, but he could be looking for a nice bounce back against, you know, Kansas State. We'll get a little bit more into that preview a little bit later on, but it feels like the passing attack is going to be really important against the Wildcats.
It's going to be huge, especially with how they play defense. It's a unique 3-3-5 setup that you don't get a lot in the college game. But what was fascinating about last week in the receiving core is that Mario had a terrific debut, and you highlighted the numbers. And he didn't have the strongest camp, I would say. He really didn't stand out much in the receiving room in camp, and Dante Fleming did, but he had that drop early on in the game in the end zone, and not much was really sent his way after that. And so it was a little bit of a reversal to what I think a lot of folks saw around the program heading into week one. And the overall factor with that receiving room is that the ceiling is extremely high. Gary's right about that, that the speed in which this group possesses might be the best Tulane's ever had. But right now there's no go-to guy. You didn't really enter the year thinking about having a go-to guy, still trying to figure that out. You hope Mario Williams would be that guy coming in from USC and what he did over the last couple of years in Los Angeles. And you hope Dante Fleming takes a step forward after a down first year at Tulane last year. But what you really hope for is that everybody kind of rises in that room there and showcases a dynamic possible offense here that Tulane has, especially now that they know who QB1 is and they're comfortable with who that guy is. Now, hopefully we can see not just Saturday, but in the weeks to come against some very difficult defenses, this wide receiver room take a step forward.
And I think the passing attack, as we mentioned, Corey, is huge in this game. When we talked with Coach Summerall back on Tuesday, he mentioned Kansas State, the first thing that stood out to him, the rushing defense and the rushing offense. Obviously, with this Kansas State Wildcats team, number 17 team in the country, and it was on full display in their opener against UT Martin. I mean, the numbers just jump off the page. 283 rushing yards for Kansas State, 9.1 yards per carry, and then UT Martin on the other side, 36 rushing yards and 0.9. I mean, you're not going to lose a lot of games when you rush for 9.1 yards per carry and hold the opponent to 0.9. It's just not going to happen. So Kansas State, that was the one thing that Coach Summerall mentioned, their rushing defense, their rushing offense, and he said they don't beat themselves.
No, they've been one of the most coherent programs in college football over the last couple of years, just top to bottom, all three phases. They have been high level. And so the rushing game that they brought last week, I don't even think we saw it at full steam because I think everyone around Tulane is expecting their quarterback, Avery Johnson, to be a lot more involved in the running game because he didn't really showcase that much last week. He was a huge rushing quarterback for their offense last year, and now he is the main guy. So I think Tulane is anticipating maybe not just him in designed runs, but his ability to save plays when things break down with his legs. It's going to be a huge component for Saturday. And that rush defense, you know, Tulane rushed for 242 on their own last Thursday, but I don't think they still got everything they were hoping for, or maybe even what they were designing for last week. And, you know, Mekhi Hughes only had 58 yards. That's the conference's leading rusher last year. They're going to need him to be near that century mark if they want to win on Saturday. And I would expect to see Darian Mensah get a little bit more mobile as well. Now that he's got a game under his belt, he does have very good mobility. And so him moving the pocket, rolling the pocket, and maybe using his legs to keep plays alive or even keep plays going downhill, I think that's going to be an element that Tulane will bring to the table as well on Saturday. Because when push comes to shove in a matchup like this, it's going to be determined up front. And if you're going to be winning the battle up front, that means you're probably winning the running game. And if Tulane's going to win the running game, they're probably going to win the game overall.
Looking at another key point that I could see Coach Summerall, you know, stressing with his team going into this game was special teams wasn't the greatest against Southeastern in the opener. You know, short kickoffs, some of the coverage was poor. There was even that muff punt. But overall, how has that group looked to improve going into this Kansas State matchup?
You know, they switched some things around on who was on kickoff coverage, Steve. And, you know, they allowed five returns last week against Southeastern, and they allowed 30 yards on average on return. And that is not going to cut it, especially against a program who has been maybe the best special teams program for years in Kansas State. It is truly a three-phase operation the Wildcats bring to the table every single year. They blocked a punt for a touchdown last week in their opener. It is critical to their success that special teams be at a high level. And so the stuff that we saw from Tulane last week, particularly in kick coverage, cannot happen against an opponent like Kansas State. There was a little bit of a late injury before that game, and that there are two freshman kickers who are going to be the kickoff guys for Tulane, and one of them wound up getting scratched right before the game last week, and he's the better in terms of kicking deeper and kicking through the end zone. So they're hoping that he'll be able to go Saturday and be involved and prevent a lot of returns from happening. But in terms of punt return, in terms of all that stuff, Tulane hasn't really had an opportunity to showcase their coverage yet in that element of special teams. It's going to need to be, you know, first contact tackle against a Kansas State team with a guy like Dylan Edwards in the return game who comes in from Colorado. He will make a ton of guys look foolish if you allow him. And so it is not just win up front on offense defense. It is win the special teams game because Kansas State gets a lot of wins off of that phase.
And Corey, what's that vibe around the campus right now? I know the student session last game, nice and packed. I got to imagine, Willie Fritz obviously helped build this program to being respectable, and coming out game one and having that, big showing in Coach Summerall's debut had to be huge. But just the overall feeling on the Tulane campus about this football team right now has to be, glowing.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare in which maybe the greatest coach in the program's history leaves, but not a lot of the excitement dwindles because of who comes in and takes the job. And that's what happened here, and they got off to a great start. Now the real meat of the schedule begins. The next really 3-4 weeks coming up here for Tulane is going to tell a lot about how things look in November. And so I think that there is a buzz about this coming Saturday and what Tulane could do in terms of making a bit of an early statement here nationally against a top 20 team. And then you go to Oklahoma the week after that, and then a regional rival going out to Lafayette after that. And so these next 3 weeks may not dictate what Tulane does in conference play, because that won't start until the last week of September, but it will tell, I think, a lot of folks just what might be capable with Uptown football this year and just how excited they could be about the conference season coming up in a couple of weeks. And yeah, if they can make it through these next 3 weeks successfully, and then you enter conference play with a huge amount of momentum, and you begin thinking about just what could be possible come mid-end of November for this program, because this is about as tough of a non-conference schedule as you're going to find around the American here. And so I think there is a excited curiosity about what Saturday is going to look like here, and if Tulane can pull off a win against a ranked team like this, then it shoots to the roof when they go to Norman next week.
Yeah, it's a critical game, and it's a critical stretch, as you mentioned, Corey. My last question for you is, looking at this Kansas State team, if you were, I think the preseason projections as far as the Big 12 goes had Utah at number one, but Kansas State was, right behind them at number two. It was just a couple points in that media prediction poll. This is a legitimately good team, and obviously we talked with Coach Summerall about, their rushing defense, rushing offense. He also mentioned their special teams, going back to what we were talking about earlier. They have really good special teams, too, and they're just not going to make mistakes. They're well coached. Coach Summerall really kind of praised this team that they're going to go face, and there's a reason, Saturday morning at Yulman Stadium, they're entering as about 10-point favorites in this one. My question to you, Corey, is this: the Tulane Green Wave come away with a victory and a statement victory over a very, very strong Kansas State bunch, if fill in the blank.
They come away with a win on Saturday if they win the running game battle. They outgain Kansas State just overall rushing. I think that is step one to getting a victory here, because if you're also running the ball better, you are killing the amount of possessions that are available, and I think Tulane's okay with playing that type of game on Saturday if you wipe out a few extra possessions rather than going fully up-tempo, relying on the passing attack. It's a 3-3-5 defense that Kansas State has, and so what the secondary does is an incredible job of keeping a lot in front of them and disguising where they're going to be. And so throwing the ball against this team is going to be tricky to do early on. And so if you can get the running game established, and that will open a play action scenario up for Darian Mensah. And if you can get that going, then you're going to like how you're moving the ball. So I think it starts with getting a running game established. That can open things up for your freshman quarterback against one of the toughest secondaries he's going to see. And if that can get going, then they're winning the game.
Voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore. Hope you have an awesome call tomorrow. Being a radio guy.
Saturday, Steve.
It is. What did I say?
You said tomorrow. It's on Saturday morning.
Oh, to me tomorrow, Saturday already. Jeez. Getting too anxious. Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Check out Corey's goal. And like I was saying, I'm a radio guy, so with everything, I love to turn down the sound on the TV, turn up that local call. Nothing better than that. Appreciate you, Corey, and have a great one. And hopefully another victory for the Green Wave.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Corey.
Corey Glore, Director of Broadcasting for Tulane, and like I said, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. I'm saying tomorrow like it's Saturday. It feels like a Friday for me, Charlie.
Yeah, you're in that Friday mood.